The People's Prayer, Part 8, Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 26 to 28. Now in this section, we meet a real switchback, a real roller coaster. If you trace back where we've reached into this prayer, the Jews are beseeching God, and they trace his electing sovereignty and his mercy to them, his deliverance of them. But they've been honest and confessed their sins, the sins of their fathers. They've acknowledged how it's all gone. And in this section, they take this theme up, they continue with it, and it's a real switchback, as I've said. You get words like but, so, because, and so on. There's a swing here, blessing. But on the other hand, it's this. Then they desert God again. They break the covenant. But God comes back. Let me just read it to you, or some of the verses. We finished in verse 25 with this. They were now reveling in the goodness of God, the great goodness of God. And then verse 26, but they were disobedient and rebelled against you. They put your law behind their backs. It's all spelled out. They're breaking the covenant. They wouldn't keep the commandments. They killed your prophets, the prophets who had warned them, the prophets who had rebuked them, the prophets who had encouraged them, the faithful men of God. They killed them. They had the people who admonished them, rebuked them for their sins and challenged them in order to turn them back to God. That's what it says here. They committed awful blasphemies. So God handed them over to their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, there you again get the switch. They cried out to God. They cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers, saviors, people who rescued them, from the hand of their enemies. And then you get another switch. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. They abandoned you. Then you abandoned them. There he goes again. Into the hand of their enemies. So they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and you had compassion upon them. Time and time and time again, God was merciful to them. But of course, if you read the book of Judges, you see this is played out in historical terms. Here is a summary of it. The book of Judges is full of it. You get your great deliverers, your Gideons, your Deborahs, your Baraks, and so on. But none of them is perfect. But then Israel delivered, and then they go back into sin. But it's not only sin, it's as soon as this, as soon as they get mercy, they're back again into sin. It's a downward course. Now, I know some people think of things as a straight line, but these people are going backwards and forwards, up and down, and they're degenerating all the time. And of course, it culminated in Babylon and Assyria. Assyria for the north, for Israel, and Babylon for the south, Judah. 70 years of captivity, and it was never restored to the former glory of Solomon. It never came back to the days of the kingdom. David's reign was never repeated. And when we pick them up again later on in the New Testament, Israel is under the jackboot of Rome. Well, now that's Israel's history. They're given the covenant, they're given the law, they're told to stay separate, they're told to keep the law, the covenant, and what do? They go after paganism, pagan ideas, pagan practices, they break the covenant. They get prophets sent to them again and again and again, like Micaiah, but back into prison, death and all the rest of it. They said to Amos, get down south, don't come up here preaching. They tell Isaiah and Jeremiah, they don't want to hear their preaching. Well, that's Israel. But what about the new covenant? That's the old covenant. What about the new covenant? What about us? What about me? What about you? Brother or sister, what about the churches today? What about the preachers today? Does any of this apply to us? Has it any got any lesson for us? Are we immune from it? Remember what 1 Corinthians 10 says. These things are written as warnings to us. Remember what 2 Timothy says. All scripture is profitable. All of it teaches us. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:12. He that thinks he stand, let him take heed lest he fall. You know, some believers think church history is one straight line rising all the time. It's going to get better and better and better. I see it here in the parallel to this. It's up and down and up and down and on the declension all the time. That's how I see it. This is a very serious catalogue in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 26 to 28. That switchback is a terrible record. But I do see that this catalogue of declension and rebellion against God is too prone to be repeated. And I fear that such a thing might be said about us. I think we have to be honest with ourselves. Well, I know we have to be honest with ourselves. Of course we do. Are we like this? Are you like it? Is this me? Are we these people who wear rose-colored spectacles? Things are getting better all the time, or what? These things are written for our learning, brothers and sisters. I'm not preaching this to say, oh, how bad Israel was, and poke the finger at them. God has left this in his word for me. And I need to heed it and hear it, personally, individually, the church connections, preaching, teaching, whatever I do, may I be given that consistency to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and never, never desert him. Remember what Christ said in John 6, will you also go away? God forbid. As Peter said, to whom can we go? Leave you, Lord, leave you never. No. Don't just stand still, brother. Don't stay still. Don't stay level. Keep growing in grace. And you, sister, keep growing, rising in spirituality. May this be the truth for us, for Christ's sake. May we not be guilty of, in our distress, crying to God, and then as soon as he blesses us and restores us, going back to the same old thing again, the old dog going back to his vomit, the pig going back to the mire. May it not be so, for Christ's sake. Amen.